This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
High noon! Jones and Keith here on WEEI. I know Marco Sturm is having trouble keeping up on what time of day it is.
Sure.
Morning? Is it night? Is it a.m.? Is it p.m.?
Right there with you, Marco.
High noon.
Yep.
Is what it is, Marco Sturm. Each and every day here on Jones and Keith, you heard Steph Diggs there talking about his physical, talking about his money. I'd say the answer is no. He has not passed, and he has not gotten a check yet.
Sounds like
from
it.
The Patriots is how that sounds. We're also continuing to get Ray submissions for our Ray Mount Rushmore, Keith.
Yeah, they're pouring in. There are a lot of Rays. A lot of famous Rays.
Ray on Twitter says, Jones number one fan, Ray in Cumberland.
Well,
you're going to get Ray
we'll
in Cumberland.
Consider
anyway.
We'll consider it.
We'll get that into the mix. Tom E. Curran normally joins us every Tuesday at high noon. Tommy Tuesday. We're calling him Tommy Hump Day today. At high noon. Curran, your favorite, Ray Crittenden, Ray Lucas. I'm trying to think of some Rays over the years. You got to have a favorite Ray, I would imagine.
Those are good Rays. I was going to go boxing for you with Ray Leonard.
Oh, nice.
Ray,
yes.
Boom, boom. Ray Boom Boom Mancini. And, wow. Of course, Sugar Ray Robinson.
Nice.
All good Rays.
All real good ones. Sugar Ray the Band, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
One that's very much overlooked. As well. You
I
were there.
The bar. Get it?
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh.
You were there front and center yesterday, peppering Stephon Diggs, Steph Diggs, as you like to call him, peppering him with questions yesterday. What did you think of that whole, I don't want to call it spectacle, that whole scene, the way he handled it, the way Mike Vrabel kind of answered things earlier in the day? What did you think of that yesterday?
I think it was interesting to hear Diggs be what he represented as being transparent, tried to be polite. Understood the questions were coming, had a party line that he was going to adhere to. As we talked about a little on early edition last night, there wasn't a massive amount of contrition. He wasn't going to open a vein and say, I'm sorry I did this, and besmirch the name of the Patriots. It wasn't like Gronk after the B.B. Jones jersey. It was more, we'll keep it between us. I talked to Mike, and we're going to keep it between us. But, you know, it was interesting when you – listen to him, and he mentioned a couple times that I'm a 10-year veteran. I understand how this stuff works. He's probably looking at it and saying, okay, so what did I do? What exactly did I do? You got nothing on me. So it's a mountain out of a molehill. Sorry it got out there. Let's move on. And I'm sure the Patriots feel that way with some trepidation and would walk away from a conversation like that and say, I hope that's it.
Now,
in 5 weeks from now when training camp opens up, the next time, whatever it is, Steph Diggs talks again, do you think questions like you guys had for him yesterday are done, or is there a little bit more, like another run at it, or was this sort of getting out in front of it, kind of putting that behind everybody?
No, I think that settled it. I mean, there was no charge. There was no police presence. There was a video of a guy with what we presume was some kind of a mood enhancer. But there's no smoking gun to say it should continue on. We asked, he answered, move on to the next event. Hopefully the Patriots, I'm sure, are hoping that there are no next events. But I would imagine that we're done with the pontoon boat.
Mm-hmm. You asked what's in the bag. I think Keith brought something up interesting earlier today, Curran.
Thank you.
What if he actually answered it? I know you assumed he wasn't going. What were you bracing for him potentially in any way answering that? That would have been wild.
No, I didn't think he'd answer it. But I mean, he could have gone. Well, you know, it was just chopped up tums. You know, you're out there on the pontoon. People, it gets rocky. You have to take some seasick pills, whatever. Yeah. No, I didn't expect him to, but it was, you know, really incumbent on us to just ask the question, because had there not been a little baggy there, there would have been no discussion. It's just a guy on a boat during Memorial Day with a bunch of girls.
What do you think how Mike Vrabel is feeling about the Steph Diggs experience thus far? He made it pretty clear yesterday that he wants everybody at everything. And so Diggs is sort of the face of that. He wasn't the only one that missed some of the optional stuff, but how do you think Mike Vrabel's handling this so far?
I think good. He's not pretending to be over the moon about the situation, but he's also not going on in there like a hanging judge and saying, we can't have this. Because, again, if you're a player, if you're a 20-something, if you're looking at this situation, you would say, what exactly did he do? And we can all logically surmise that it was whatever, and have our own levels of offense. But I think that if Mike slips out over something that, again, you just don't know what it was, there's no police involvement, then, you know, be a little bit downcast about it and then move on to the football aspect. Because the football aspect to me continues to be fascinating. And you guys played the Giardi question about whether or not he's passed the physical. And that dynamic I see being fascinating, because you have Diggs saying, you know, I'm a dog on a leash, I'm ready to go. He's participating in a way I didn't expect him to 7 months after the surgery. He's probably dying to get his physical done, be cleared, ready to go, and start having his money hit his account. And the Patriots can always say, we're doing it for your own good. We're not going to have a physical done until you're ready to go. It's, you know, you're fine. We're fine. Take our time here. But they can also at the same time say, let's give him the physical as late as possible and just make sure that he's completely on board. Whereas Diggs is probably sitting there going, look, I'm ready. Can I have my physical, please? So I do see that being, unless they've come to some understanding that I don't know about, as to what date they're going to have the physical on, it could be something that would be under the surface, a little push-pull.
Interesting. So you think he might be agitated by them holding him back? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like to use a word, he's not necessarily loving that they're holding him back.
No, I don't know that, because I don't know what questions that they would have. But if he wants a physical and wants to be cleared and is indicating he's full go, or to this point, he, and I don't know. But I'm just saying the potential exists unless they've addressed it. Unless it's been addressed. Look, if I owed you $50 and said I would give it to you if you did a certain thing, and you were prepared fully to do that certain thing, and I kept putting it off, you'd eventually say, can we just do this so I can get my $50?
Mm-hmm. Let alone $4
million. Yeah.
Seriously. You want to up the number. A question Jones asked earlier, and he and I disagreed on it, so you can break the tie. Who needs who more, the Patriots needing Steph Diggs or Steph Diggs needing the Patriots?
Patriots needing Steph Diggs.
I agree.
I disagree.
Yeah. To me, it's the Patriots needing Diggs, because Diggs would find another home. Might not find it at $12 million a year in the contract that he got, and it might put a little bit of a strike against him as he moves around the league with a failed physical. But to me, I think the Patriots, you know, need him more in that they're searching high and low for a number one receiver. If they don't have Steph Diggs, your number one receiver is probably DeMario Douglas, who's more of a slot. He would be a number three on a good wide receiver team. So to me, it's the Patriots need Diggs to fulfill the things that they're trying to put in place here.
How typical is it that we get to this point, and we agree to disagree on who has the leverage, how typical is it that we see a player here, we're in between minicamp and training camp, and there's still a pending physical? Is that more typical than I would realize? Because I would tend to think a lot of times physicals are done when you sign the contract, no?
No, I think it's much more prevalent, because you have to be cleared for different aspects of trying to make the team. You see a bunch of guys get, you know, released failed physical toward the end of training camp. So, I think it's much more prevalent. A guy trying to come back from an injury and he hasn't been able to get on the field. He's still getting paid, but he hasn't been cleared yet to play. I don't think it's exceptional. I mean, there's a difference between being cleared to run around with a penny on at 80% and being able to put helmet, shoulder pads on and take every rep of practice full contact. And it does make sense that there would be a different physical or a different set of standards that you have to pass for that. Now, again, they're not real open about this because of, you know, they'll hide behind HIPAA and everything else. But it's not something that they're delving into when we ask about Steph Diggs. It's been difficult to find out exactly what the situation is. But my presumption would be sign the contract pending a physical. You put the physical in the contract specifically. You put language in it that says until you pass it, you get nothing and like it. Then, to me, that might be a little unusual. But still, that physical, I think every player in any kind of rehab condition would have to pass eventually to play.
What'd you make of Mike Vrabel the other day talking up Efton Chisholm pretty good, the undrafted wide receiver who we've talked about a few times on the show? And then when asked about Kyle Williams, their third-round pick who had a big touchdown catch, just be like, yeah, you gotta make those plays.
It's very obvious when you go to these OTAs that Chisholm is really good. It's really obvious. And May said that the other day when I asked him about Henderson, Williams, and Chisholm. He mentioned how good the other two were, and then he mentioned Chisholm. He goes, he's got probably 50 catches in these OTAs. And when Vrabel said yesterday the most important thing that these players can do at that position is build trust with the quarterback, and you can tell that when they throw to him. They're throwing to the kid over and over and over again, and it's not just because he's there. It's because he's there, and they look to him. They check. All right, well, where's Chisholm? Boom. He's right where he's supposed to be. That's a catch. He catches it religiously. I don't know if I've seen a drop from him. And then he scurries up the field. So I don't think one indicates a disappointment with Kyle Williams, but I do think that when you just watch Chisholm move, the speed with which he gets out of his breaks is unique to everybody except for Diggs. He's not faster by any stretch, but his body control and his ability to stop and start is better than any other player at the wide receiver. And that includes Polk, that includes Williams, that includes Baker. Boyne's pretty good too, but he's better at that than anybody but except for Diggs, who, even on a bad knee, was pretty good getting in and out.
So something jumped out to me from Vrabel yesterday beyond the Diggs stuff, and it was the way he talked about Chisholm versus the way he talked about Kyle Williams. Keith pointed out, I mean, there's a reason to do that. Chisholm is undrafted. You want to keep him motivated by gassing him up. Kyle Williams, day two pick. There's a lot of draft capital invested there. So maybe you want to keep him wanting more and wanting to prove more. So maybe there is a method to that madness. But I read into Vrabel yesterday talking up Chisholm and also kind of sounding lukewarm at best about Kyle Williams making a 40-yard catch down the field. Did you read into that at all?
I think that he was trying more, less to downgrade Williams' play on that particular down and more to just caution us as media to say, they can't, as defensive backs right now, jump up and try and swat the ball away and then end up with a four-car pileup on the goal line after everyone's running full speed, because we're just not supposed to be going to the ground. So he beat them down the field. The defensive backs didn't allow him to beat them down the field, but I think Vrabel's point is they're not going to challenge at the catch point the way they would normally. It was less about the Williams thing and more about just reminding us what we're watching is not necessarily what might happen in a competitive situation.
And even with, you know, those limitations for the defense, it does seem like the offense has progressed, right? It started out, we were talking about that Drake May four-pick performance. Then it was a little bit better, cleaned up the picks, but the completion percentage was low. And it seems like each day things have gotten a little bit better for the offense.
Until yesterday.
Oh.
They did a lot of third down. They did a lot of red zone. They did a lot of defensively, giving a whole mess of different looks. Guys mugging up in the line of scrimmage. And I think that presented some confusion problems and protection problems that I think are actually good for them to see before they go into this break before training camp. I would put good money on the fact that the first week of training camp, we will be talking about, why does the offense look so bad? And it's because the defense is losing its mind, not being able to fully participate, and you know they're getting to the quarterback and around the quarterback, and then you see a throw downfield that May gets credit for on all of our statistical compilations as, well, it's another completion, and it probably wouldn't have been. So I would think that when training camp starts and it's more competitive and there is contact, they're going to have the edge pretty well. But that's not to downgrade the improvement we saw over the 3 weeks of OTAs while they were out there. They got much better all the way through.
Curran, do you expect a change to the roster between now and training camp, like a significant change? And the reason I ask, you asked and had a back and forth yesterday with Vrabel. I would imagine about T.J. Watt. I would imagine about Terry McLaurin. Who else? Trey Hendrickson. They were linked by Jeremy Fowler to Rashad Bateman. They were one of the teams that inquired about Rashad Bateman. Do you think we see a significant change between now and training camp to the roster?
I think that they would be open to doing it. I just don't know if any of those individuals are in a position where the teams that they're on would be willing to move them during the summer. They're all good players. They're all high-ticket players. You know, we could have that. It's an interesting conversation. The Patriots have $60 million in cap space still. It's, you know, they didn't get Chris Godwin, so they got Steph Diggs, but he's not nearly as expensive as Chris Godwin would have been. So they still have that money there. They can roll $60 million into next year and have another crap ton of money to spend in free agency. And maybe guys more want to come here so that they can actually get rid of the money. But it's still sitting there. You still have the opportunity to go get a big ticket item if you want to. What does loom down the road for the team in general is contracts for Christian Gonzalez. Believe it or not, you can already start thinking about a contract for Drake May. So you have to look at these big ticket top five picks, or in Gonzalez's case, all pro player at a, you know, prime position that are going to command a lot of money. But you do have to at some point spend the money. And I think that they went through the same thing last year. Nobody really wanted to come here. It wasn't a great free agent class, so they re-signed all their own guys. And one by one, they're moving on from those guys or finding, you know, those guys are finding themselves further down the depth chart. And I mention that because I look at Anthony Jennings, who I've always thought is a good player and productive, and he's running with the twos at all times, it seems. So it's segued to another point off of what you're talking about. There's a lot of guys on the roster still who seem to be, they were key players last year, who are now being a little bit marginalized. Might change during training camp when they can hit more and do more running game, and maybe we'll see more from them, but that continues to be an interesting thing to watch. But as far as getting a big ticket guy, I think they'd love to, but that whole thing that we always joke about, oh, they were in on him. They were in on him. They were in on him. Are they really in on him? Do they go and balls to the wall to make it happen, or are they just saying, so what's that cost? And then walking out of the store.
Last thing for me, Tom, I think it was last week. It was like hours before he signed. I was like, Will Campbell hasn't signed. You're like, it's no big deal. And then he signed right away. Travion Henderson, the second round pick, also hasn't signed. I know there's been a kind of trend of second round picks, at least the guys at the very top getting guaranteed contracts. But anything to read in there as we get into the, you know, second week of June and still no contract for Henderson?
I don't. I just don't see the same level of contract strife we used to see when the CBA was totally different. I'm sure that Travion Henderson will get done and be on the field at some point. So I wouldn't see that being a looming issue.
Okay.
Could be wrong, but I just don't think it happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. Tommy Tuesdays, Tommy Hump Day today. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Tom E. Curran joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. That's true. It's not like Benjamin Watson, although the Shamar Stewart one in Cincinnati is pretty ugly.
Yeah.
That's a first round pick, but that's one where he's like, no, they got to figure out my contract. Like, that's gotten pretty contentious.
Yeah. It's not like what it used to be. It's a lot easier. Like, this is what you can make. This is what the guy last year at this spot made and everything else. But you just wonder how dead set Henderson and his agent are going to be on guaranteed money, because there's precedent for it in the second round versus the Patriots being like, no, we're not giving you guaranteed money.
Right. And in the meantime, he's not holding out, right? He's here.
Oh, he's there. Catching, so that's
catching
a good
passes
sign.
which is a good sign for sure. Let me throw a couple of these rapid fire.
Yeah, all right.
Ready?
Yep.
Ray Zinbran.
Too much.
Don't like it?
No, we're doing too much. There's enough Rays. We don't need to do what sounds like Ray.
So not Raekwon the Chef.
Okay,
you
that do I kind of
like that
actually.
One.
Yeah.
This one, I think you're definitely.
But his name's
like.
Raekwon. His name isn't Ray.
Right. How about Lana Del Rey?
Oh yeah.
Now we're talking.
Number one with a bullet.
Okay, now we're talking. 617-779-7937. Let's get back into Stephon Diggs. His back and forth with the media yesterday, right after trending with Billy Lanning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And didn't really want to talk about it. Here was Steph Diggs' interaction with the media yesterday.
I want to be as candid with you guys as possible. I kind of like have a thing where talk about my personal life with people I don't know personally. I'm pretty sure everybody here, men and women, are great people, but you know what I'm saying? I kind of keep my personal life personal. I had a conversation with Graves, obviously. I'm going to echo everything that he said. He told me, you know, hoping everybody making good decisions, you know what I'm saying? And I had a conversation with people in the building as well, so, you know, everything else, you know. The particulars is all internal.
Standing back, it's kind of coming on us to ask, what was in the bag?
Obviously, it's a conversation, you know, that's happening internal. You know what I'm saying? I can't have too much of a conversation about it. But I've been in this league 10 years. You can format the question many different ways. You know, I'm going to obviously answer it the same way. So.
7-7-1, yeah. Did you know it was being recorded?
Once again, you can format the question many different ways. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this for 10 years. The conversation that I had with Raves and the people in the building, obviously, is going to be handled internal, in-house thing. So.
You regret it happened?
So you asked me again. I would hate to repeat myself again.
He was like, nah, he ain't about to get
mad
on this one.
Very respectful, though.
He has a policy. Yeah. He doesn't talk about personal things with people he doesn't know personally. So,
I get it.
I have the same policy.
That wasn't personal. That was shared, like we all saw it. Nobody's asking about behind closed doors in his home.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'm assuming that if it wasn't an illegal substance, he just would have said it, Courtney.
Oh, no. If it was an illegal substance, he wouldn't be on the team. Would be my guess.
What? Have you seen Jabril Peppers?
That would be my guess.
Come on.
He's on the team.
He said they had conversations internally, and so in my mind, mm-hmm. whatever was in that bag was not what people were alleging.
But there's a guy that pled guilty to or admitted to having cocaine that is literally on the field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Different situation.
I think in that situation, if you say, once it's out there, people already believe it. If you say, no, it ain't, people going to be like, oh, he's capping, he's lying, it was this. I know, you know, people are going to be like, firsthand.
When you refuse to say anything, it makes it worse.
I don't know. Like, I guess it depends on who you are. But, you know, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, I've done that before. That's definitely pink cocaine. Wow. You know, so it's kind of like.
But Vrabel definitely told him, don't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, whether it is or it isn't.
Yes.
No, he said that's been his policy for 10 years.
Yeah, but Vrabel said it.
That's been his policy, is he doesn't talk about personal things with people he doesn't know.
I would have no idea who he's dating. I mean, he doesn't publish any of his private life.
But as much as, but even
there still, there is too much oversharing when it comes to personal.
The guy is massaging butts on social media.
It's his girlfriend, he's smacking.
Clip that.
He's not exactly a closed book.
I do like that you called it massaging.
Yeah.
We're on to week one. When it comes to Steph Diggs.
He looks good.
Who did he talk to in the building about it? Do you think Robert
Vrabel.
Kraft?
Drake?
Well, no, he said I talked to Vrabel, and then he said I talked to people in the building.
Kraft.
Then we talked to Drake. Yeah.
Drake May and the receivers, probably, right? Didn't Drake say he was like in meetings with them and stuff?
Probably talked to Kraft, too, because remember, Cardi B was on stage performing, and she had Robert Kraft out there, so he probably talked to him as well.
Her new song is going to be so good.
Yeah, she's fire.
What is next?
Well, Greg, the Boston Bruins have a new head coach. That'd be one Marco Sturm. He met with the media yesterday, and here was Marco talking about kind of knowing what the city of Boston expects from him.
I mentioned it before. The years after that, especially when Claude took over, you could see the process, right? You could see every year how we got better. And all of a sudden, I see a big, big change here in the city of Boston because they're behind you. And that feeling alone, it feels like yesterday to me. And that's exactly what I want to bring back, right? Forget about winning and losing. Yes, we have to win. I know that. But even when there were tough stretches, you know, tough games, you know, that feeling, and hopefully the fans and the city of Boston will feel it every time they're going to watch us play, right? We got to compete. We're going to be structured, I can tell you that. But we also got to compete and make everyone proud.
All right.
I mean, they always compete. You got to win.
Yeah.
I mean, they always, compete.
Difficult challenge ahead for Marco Sturm because Donnie Sweeney traded away a lot of your value. So whatever you had value-wise. So.
Yeah, so it's going to be, you know, based on, you know, you hear some of the, you know, well, we have Milbury on for all that time and just maybe they don't have enough talent. And as a coach, you know.
Is there a risk that you are, you know, you're going to waste
some of the best years of David Pastrnak. If you are not able to add some talent to this team, you know, other than the draft.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see it all the time.
Because how old's Pasta right now? 30?
Is he that I was going to say? Yeah.
I would say he's close to
30. He's 29, yep.
Okay, so, yeah. I mean, yeah, that you've got to consider that. I mean, the last year was a wash. The year before that ended up being a wash. And people were coming at me yesterday because I told Wiggy that there was parts of last season where Pasta disappeared. And people were saying, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not true. Pasta, in his own words last season, said that was the case.
Yes.
The beginning of last season, he had a rough start. And Mike Milbury on the show said it. We all talked about it.
Well, I would say it's the parts of the season where you're expecting he might play some defense. But
he was giving the puck away at certain points.
Yeah, he was turning over.
Yeah, so it was.
But he's still hands down far and away your best player.
We agree. We agree.
And you're if you don't put talent around him, then you're just wasting him. You know, he's just wasting away. Because you see it in hockey, right? Having one great player, it really doesn't mean anything. It's not going to get you anything. You got to be able to. I mean, look at Washington for all those years with. Just have an Ovechkin. You got to put pieces around them.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, you can't just rely on the coach because you had two really good ones.
Yeah.
And you got rid of them.
Yeah.
And the result did not get better.
No.
The result for them got better where they went.
Right.
But the result for your team did not get better.
Right. So. And so now it's more about what is Sweeney going to do when it comes to moves, off seasons? Can they be a big player in the off season and, you know, trades or that thing? If not, then what do you do? Maybe you miss the playoffs next year. Shime says you miss the playoffs next year and then it's the year after that. But what's going to change? Are they going to get somebody?
I would assume they're going to get some talent, especially this offseason and free agency somehow. And then you're going to get some draft picks that hopefully will, after a year's time, kind of, you know, start to mature a little bit.
Do you have the money to get anybody legit?
I mean, you should have some. I can double check the number, but.
And how long do, like.
And does somebody legit want to come here? Like, you think about Sam Bennett or something like that, Shine.
Yeah, I mean, if you pay him enough money, they'd come here. And Andy, like, especially a guy like that, you'd get to play with David Pastrnak.
Right.
Your numbers are only going to go up. Pastrnak has had 100-plus points 3 straight years. This guy is in the middle of his prime. He is one of the best scorers and just point-getters in all of hockey. Like, any good player would want to play with David Pastrnak.
Yeah, I think hockey's different. I think those guys would love to come to Boston. The question is, how long do you wait for draft picks, you know, to pan out?
All right, anything else?
Nope, that'll do it today, Greg.
That'll do it?
That'll do it.
All right, coming up, we'll get to Courtney in the news, and then Nick Kostos will hammer the Shime on the U.S. Open this weekend. Right now, Courtney, with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Ortho Laser. The Red Sox win, beating the Rays 3-1 at Fenway. In the big news, in front of his family, Roman Anthony got his first major league hit. Driving in runners on second and third to give the Sox a 2-0 lead. Trevor Story also had a nice one, a bomb to go give the Sox 3. Lucas Giolito struck out 4 over his 6 innings. We can hear about the night in front of his family from Roman from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Yeah, it was awesome. That group out there has been with me every step of the way. So just to see them here. I know they had to miss yesterday. Unfortunately, it was kind of quick notice, but to have them here was special for sure.
Very cool. Nissan is here to help you save this summer with lower MSRPs on Rogue and Pathfinder. The possibilities are endless. Visit your local dealer today. Last one with the Rays tonight, 7:10 first pitch with Walker Buehler taking the mound. Brooksy will join Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Join Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Game 3 of the NBA Finals is tonight. Tip is at 8:30 in Indiana. The Pacers and Thunder are tied at 1 apiece. And the U.S. Open is set to tee off tomorrow at Oakmont, right outside of Pittsburgh. And Scottie Scheffler is the favorite to win at plus 270.
That means the game ain't gonna start till 8:40 and go to what, 11:30?
Yeah. I mean, could they not play every other night?
Like,
Curtis was talking about ratings.
earlier, does that not have something to do with it in your mind?
Well, they were playing every other night before the NBA right. Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals, the regular, you know, in the playoffs.
I mean, they always spread it out. Yeah. Sunday night's a much better TV night. They don't want to go against the Stanley Cup. They don't want to have those on simultaneously. Yeah. So this is how it works out.
Yeah. Well, that was brought to you by Ortho Laser New England. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Lou Maloney did, get back in the game without...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Surgery at Ortho Laser New England, online at ortholaserne.com. That's what's trending. We will be back with the news.
Good to see you, buddy.
You too.
All right.
Got the boys.
Stop. All right, you ready?
All right. Happy to be here with my old teammate, Mike Vrabel, head coach of the New England Patriots, and we just finished the first day of minicamp. How'd it go, bud?
Yeah, not bad.
Were you happy with the energy and the compete level out there?
Yeah, I think it's going good. You know what I mean? You got to get to the red zone, and again, the defense has to take care of the offense. There's no pads. You can't really reroute anybody. So, again, just trying to celebrate touchdowns. It's hard to get down there. And, again, you know, when you score, we want the guys to celebrate. But we got first, second, third down in. We had some no huddle. So I think there's a lot in so far. I think that we've thrown a lot at them, and I think that they've responded.
You, the plays, one right after the other. Is that important for you to just let's run a lot of plays, and maybe the hardcore coaching comes in film later? Is that kind of a philosophy of yours?
That's an intentional. I mean, again, we have a period where we just do that and we're on the ball, but we don't want to spend a whole lot of time. We want to practice the same way we play, and I think that that's key in preparation. So we don't have a whole lot of time in between plays, whether it's good or bad. We have to get back. We got to get back to center, yep. And we got to run the next play, figure out what the next situation is, and then when we come off on the side, we'll try to coach it up. But I think that there certainly needs to be an urgency and a conditioning level to the way that we practice.
Absolutely. Let's change gears. Your quarterback, Drake, how's he progressing in your mind? What are you seeing out of him?
I think good. I think it's a gradual progression that you know, things aren't going to happen overnight. It's a new system. And so he's learning as he goes. And there's new things to him as he goes. And I think the biggest thing for him is he is his biggest critic. And I've just tried to explain to him that we have to run the play. We have to make a decision, make a great decision, and then you know, transfer to the next play. And sometimes he wants to you know, probably carry things a little longer, and I think that that's just the competitor in all of us.
Your DBs jump out to me, your corners in particular, Carlton and Christian. You like
good
what you
sign.
See
I
from
do.
Those guys? Christian looks kind of, you know, beefed up a little bit.
Yeah, looks like he gained a little good weight, and again, he's so athletic and long and talented that we just continue to push him and try to get him to reach his potential, which is very, very high.
Okay. The slot receiver position looked like it was pretty active today. That position, how important is that position to get on the same page with your quarterback?
Well, there's a lot of space in there to operate sometimes in zone coverages, and then if it's match, you have to be able to win and win quickly on third down. And so those are situations where, you know, they were able to find Pop and, you know, Chisholm or whoever else is working in there.
Yeah. 14th jumped out. Spolini, is he? He looks like a guy that doesn't have to come off the field very
active,
often.
Active, communicator. Loves football, self-made, developmental player, great story. And he's had football, you know, when somebody said he couldn't play football anymore, and he's not going to give that up too easy. So that's a great leader for us along with some other guys in there, but it's been a great addition to our defense.
How important is a guy's story? Like, he has a good story. I mean, he's overcome a lot. He's had to fight for what he's... And would you look for something
like that
on your
players? I don't think you need to necessarily have a story, but it helps. I mean, I think it makes us all who we are.
Yeah.
You know, what our history is and you know, what we've been through and sometimes the trials and some of the negativity that we faced has made us better and made us calloused. And so certainly the ones that have had football taken away and had another shot. I mean, Jeremiah Farms is a great example. I mean, he's a well-traveled player. And he is not giving these spots up easy. He tasted what it feels like to go out there and play, and you know he wants to provide for his family, and he wants to, you know, to help his family. So he doesn't want to, you know, go back to the alternative.
No doubt. All right, a couple more, bud. Steph Diggs. When I just watch him, he looks like he was the alpha out there and taking charge. Are you happy with how he's been around these guys?
Yeah, I mean the leadership, the attitude, the presence. I think is great. I think he's worked hard to get back to. You know, to being close and ready to go. And then we'll see where that leads to in training camp.
So one more day mini camp tomorrow. What's going to be your message to the guys when they go off for the next 5 weeks before training camp?
Well, this is the most important 5 weeks of the offseason. I mean, people talk about the OTAs and the 9-week program and an extra week you get as a new coach. But to me, it's the 5 weeks from the end of mini camp to the start of training camp, which will define and help define your season. And so it's critical that they're working and they're training and they're studying.
Good. All right, last one.
Man, you said last one already.
When are we playing Muirfield Village is what I want to know. Can we go play soon? Hey, buddy, good luck to you. It's great seeing you. I love you, brother.
Stay in touch. Thank you.
All right.
WEEI Afternoons, broadcasting live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. There's a very nice F-Series truck, actually, right outside the door of the studio that I would look good in. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales event. Ted Johnson was down at Patriots minicamp this week, and like any good movie series, if you're going to have a first and then a sequel, you got to have a third, you got to have a trilogy. So we had Mike Vrabel, we had Robert Spillane. Now we have an interesting third-year player, defensive lineman, who I'm not sure is as good as he thinks he is, and we can talk about that on the backside of the interview. He did tie for the team lead in sacks last year with 5. It was heavily weighted towards the beginning of the season. And he seemed to fall out of love with the coaches, the situation, the defense. Keon White, one-on-one with Ted Johnson from Patriots minicamp.
It's time for a TED Talk.
There's a football player, that Ted Johnson.
Smack down. He hit a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
Stories from on and off the field from three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
Ted Johnson scrapes right into Jerome Bettis' face and puts him on his back.
This guy is going to be one of the best inside linebackers in football.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Ted Johnson and another defensive hardo coming up here. Keon White. We'll see if Teddy is sizing up Keon if you watch on Twitch. There was not.
So Keon White, Keon, how's it going? But how did the last 2 days go for you?
It's pretty good. Just I'm figuring it out. The coaches are figuring me out. So it's like a give and take relationship.
Yeah. How's it been with Vrabel, old teammate of mine? How's he helping you get better at your job?
I like him because he's a hard ass. So like, I really don't like a buddy, everybody's kumbaya and coach.
Okay.
And so he's like, the first thing is work. And if we get off the work, like if we leave with work, then everything else will take care of itself.
Okay, and you're not afraid of that?
Yeah, no, I respect that.
Well, good. Some new additions, Milton Williams. How's it been working with him on the D-line?
It's been good. Another guy similar in age, me and him, so like we kind of feed off each other. He's really good at what he does, so we compete in everything we do, whether it be the weight room, whether it be out here, who's gonna get to the quarterback first. I feel like iron sharpens iron.
Iron does sharpen iron. What are your expectations for this defense? A lot of additions in the offseason, already some nice pieces with you and Christian. What are your expectations for this defense this year?
My only expectation is to be better today than we were yesterday, for real. That's the only thing we can do.
That sounds good. And what are your plans for the next 5 weeks? You going anywhere fun? Are you going to chill? What are you going to be doing?
I'm a chill. I don't really do too much around this time, like the June and July time. Because that's like we're too close to the season. I'm going to get on my diet, get my body right, everything like that.
Do they still have weight limits that you got to come in on? Is there a certain weight that they want you at?
Yeah.
Are you comfortable at that weight?
Or? Yeah, it's 285. So I always play around 280, 285.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Does he have you doing any stuff with hand fighting? Does he got you working with anybody with that kind of stuff?
Coach Smith does a good job. So he lets the coaches be the coaches. So my coach, Mike Smith, he does a good job of coaching us all up to do what we need to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what are your expectations for yourself personally this year? What do you want to see out of your game?
Same thing, just be better today than I was yesterday, every day.
Keon, thanks, man. Good luck, okay?
Ted Johnson and Keon White, not exactly a man of a lot of words. Hopefully he's a man of action. Bit of a badass. I mean, Ted, you were standing there, eyeing him up, sizing him up. He's an impressive physique.
There's an intensity to the young man that you don't see in everybody. I mean, both the guys interviewed, Robert Spillane and him. Keon's got a little bit different energy, but they take their jobs very, very serious, as they should. But Keon's on another level. So he is all business. He likes hard coaching. He likes that tough environment, And when he said that to me, I was kind of like, kind of laughing, like maybe he's going to laugh. He's being dead serious. So, I mean, I'd like to see more. This is what I'd like to see more of. I would like to see more sacks on the quarterback other than just a power rush. The hips, I do feel a little bit. So I feel like he's a little bit of a poor man's Jadeveon Clowney, okay, where it's power.
Yep.
Gets up under you, drives you back. But what's the secondary move? What's the third move? I mean, the guys that are the best at getting to the quarterback have second and third moves when their first one doesn't work. I like to see that from Keon and see his, just kind of his pass rush take it to another level. They need him, and I feel like he has a body type that is he a D tackle? He almost feels like a little undersized for that, but he's almost too big for an outside linebacker. So he's 6'5", 285. So it's kind of like in that tweener. He's more really just a pure defensive end, in my opinion. So, but I'd like to see him get to the quarterback a little bit more. And I'd like to see him in moments, key moments of the game, kind of just keep his wits about him. He had two or three personal fouls on hits on the quarterback last year that I just I don't have any tolerance for that. I don't. There's no excuse for it. The quarterback, two steps. You know when the ball's out, you got to pull up, and nobody's worth that kind of punitive penalty for your team. So I'd like to see him just kind of keep that out of his repertoire as well.
Yeah, Keon White last year, the expectations were super high based off of the 2023 season. And then what happened was the defense completely fell apart. You had guys like Jelani Tavai playing out of place because Juwan Bentley got knocked out after a great first game against Cincinnati. And I feel like he was trying to tell us without telling us what he intimated to you, Ted, about the whole, I don't like buddy-buddy coaches, I like dead serious coaches, that he didn't like the coaching staff. They were playing him out of position last year. He talked about even wanting to move on if he had to. Like, I feel like if he's able
to
have
the...
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he absolutely
did.
More than intimated.
Yeah, right.
More than said. Basically, like, this is a mess. And if I could tell you guys really everything going on, I would. I think he was on cleanup duty, not like Robert Spillane cleaning up the middle of the field. Basically, just hold the fort because there's no Barmore and obviously no Milton Williams at that time. But there just was no talent on the field. He's got a chance.
Dead last in sacks last year.
Yep. And you know the crazy thing is, Ted, they had 19 on the season. They got exactly half in one game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Against the Bears.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
And, like, that pass rush last year was every bit as anemic and pathetic as their pass protection was on the other side. I'm not betting Andy this year that he has double-digit sacks, but you see a much different Keon White this year.
You guys, one of the key indicators that used to be a thing, I don't know how much in the last few years, but not too long ago, an indicator of how good your team was and how far it went was if you were one of the top teams in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those stats that if you have a team that can get to the quarterback, it usually translates to wins and playoff runs.
Well, I would say your former teammate believes that, since the first two things he talked about at Gillette Stadium when he took the job was protecting our quarterback and impacting the other team's quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, he said those are basically his two priorities, protect, and I would assume he's basing it off of some of that quarterback being affected by the pass rush, whether defensively as a positive for you or offensively as a negative for you, directly correlates to winning.
So theoretically, the Patriots this offseason have picked up, via free agency, two players, one on offense and one on defense, that you quote-unquote have to game plan for. One, you would think maybe Steph Diggs, if he's
right,
if he's at the height of a Super, if he can still be the old Steph Diggs, you will game plan for him. And the other one's Milton Williams. Where you might have to slide your line to double-team Milton Williams. That means the other three guys on the line are going to get one-on-one blocks. And are those guys going to make plays when Milton Williams is getting double-teamed?
And that's where – so it's clear that Keon White didn't like the coaching staff last year, didn't like how he was being utilized, didn't like the environment put forth by Mayo. He didn't say Mayo, but he said, I got a hard ass now, and I didn't like the kumbaya guy who's going to be your friend. But I also, I teased it leading into this. I think Keon White has a really high opinion of how good he is. And I personally haven't seen that play itself out with any consistency on a football field. He's physical. He's violent. He's strong. But in terms of putting it together as an impactful snap after snap player, he hasn't done it. And if he doesn't do it this year, playing next to Christian Barmore and Milton Williams and the coverage behind him from Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis, then I'm going to be kind of done with him talking himself up.
And Landry and Chasen and Swinson, I mean, like, the line should be loaded up significantly.
But those guys are going to, in my opinion, get their opportunities because of the Milton Williams
and Barmore.
Christian Barmore, those guys.
Real quick update, back to baseball for just one quick second. Lineup is out, and once again, Roman Anthony is playing in right field and hitting fifth.
I like it. Hey, Alex Cora, I like what you're doing. Take your young players, put them in one position, one spot in the order, and just let them go win you some baseball games. See? He does listen to us.
He's picking
up on the ideas we're sharing with him here.
Wait, but have we reached the point in WEEI afternoons after the Breslow meeting where everything changes?
That's a good point. We do need to wait to see what the lineup looks like when they actually take the field at 7 o'clock tonight, because things do have a way of changing here in Fenway Park when Alex Cora is with us, right? We've learned that lesson a little bit. Okay, yep. So you're right. Pump the brakes.
2:30 and 4:30 are a long time away when we're
in this world at Fenway Park. Up next here at WEEI Afternoons, we need to slide in a little bit of Bill Belichick, because
There was a story in The Athletic.
And he spoke today.
I didn't know he spoke today.
I got some quotes.
Oh, we got some audio from Bill Belichick?
Not audio. Just some. I just can read you some quotes. I mean, there might be audio. Okay. We'll look for it. But yeah, I think he spoke at practice under the UNC logo.
Oh, he still coaches football? I thought he was just like an influencer that walked the red carpet with a hot chick and just, you know, did
He was
Instagram.
Talking about all the noise and how he's just there to coach football and make his team better.
We're going to talk about that next, and I'm going to be angry with it here on WEEI Afternoons.
It's time for a TED Talk.
There's a football player that Ted Johnson.
Yeah. Smacked down. He hit a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
Stories from on and off the field from three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
Ted Johnson scrapes right into Jerome Bettis' face and puts him on his back.
This guy is going to be one of the best inside linebackers in football.
On WEEI Afternoons.
I'm actually interested in hearing this because Fitzy, I think Ted Johnson is the classic middle linebacker, the old school 20, 30 years ago middle linebacker.
They don't have those much anymore.
Nope. And now you got Robert Spillane. So two guys, same jobs, mm-hmm. different generations. A little mm-hmm. chat down in Foxborough. Ted Johnson and Robert Spillane.
Ted Johnson here with Patriots middle linebacker Robert Spillane. Thanks for taking a few minutes with me.
Thanks for having me.
You bet, buddy. It was fun watching the last couple of days. How do you think minicamp went for you guys?
Every day we come out here trying to get 1% better. Come out here with intentional actions, just to focus on little minor details of our game individually and collectively, come together as a team. And I'm just so proud of not only the linebacker unit, but the defense as a whole, the team as a whole. I felt like I'm new out here, but it feels like family already. So I'm excited to see where this could lead to.
Love that. The energy, just watching you guys, it just felt like there was the compete level was very, very high at all three levels. Talk about your defensive line. You got Milton Williams there. You got Barmore, Keon. You got some hosses up there. Are you excited to play with those guys?
I'm very excited to play behind those guys. Those are big, strong dudes who know how to play both the run and the pass. I'm going to tell them all year, go be great. Go make plays. I'm 5 yards behind you to make you right. So that's one thing I harp on my D linemen. There's nothing wrong. If you're playing fast and playing hard, I have the time and distance to make you right.
Love that. The cornerbacks you got. You have some elite corners. Chris Gonzalez had a nice interception.
One-handed?
Yeah, how about that? Unbelievable. Oh. I mean, that lets you guys do some more creative stuff in your blitzing if you want to do that, knowing you got Carlton and Christian out there, right?
When you got corners and safeties in the back end, it opens the playbook to do whatever you please. So I'm excited to play with two shutdown corners in the secondary behind the safety. So We'll see how this thing shapes out, but it was an exciting OTA period.
Good. I've always kind of thought of middle linebackers like couple ways. You're either a downhill or you're a float and fill guy. When I watch your tape, I see a lot of TFLs, okay, which this is one of my favorite stats was the tackle for loss. I see you pressing the line of scrimmage. Do you consider yourself more downhill than float and fill?
Not at all. I've really tried to make my game, my favorite two people to watch are Bobby Wagner and Luke Kuechly. And I actually play with a little bit more depth than both of them.
Okay.
So I'm toes at 6 yards, they're at 5 and 4. So I like to play lateral and finish on the ball, whether it be a 1 yard gain or a 3 yard for loss gain. I'm not always looking to necessarily press my gap. I'm looking to press my gap, but knowing that the running back's going somewhere else as soon as he sees me in my gap. So you have to be able to play over the top and track the back through it all.
What's your experience been like so far with Coach Vrabel? How's that been? What do you think of him so far?
Yeah, it's a full circle moment being here. He recruited me out of high school at Ohio State. Gave me my first opportunity with the Tennessee Titans 8 years ago as an undrafted free agent. And just to be signed back to be the middle linebacker here and to play meaningful snaps means the world to me. I don't want to let him down. He's the type of coach that any player wants to play for. He encourages people to follow their dreams, to love their families, and to love football. And that, what more could you ask for from a coach? I'm excited. We got a lot of hungry people, especially on this defense, who want to make a name for themselves. So you can really feel the energy and the enthusiasm going forward.
Couple more, Robert. Your quarterback, just your thoughts on Drake. I mean, I know you weren't here last year, but a lot of people are expecting big things out of him. He feels like, when I watch him, he's got
special traits to him. Just your overall impressions of the kid.
He has a great feel for the game. Tall, beautiful, big arm, can move in the pocket, can find all, can make all the throws. I'm really impressed by how he's able to manipulate underneath coverages. At such a young age, you would expect that more from a veteran quarterback, but he showed me some things that I'm really excited about.
Okay, and last thing, you got 5 weeks off before training camp. What, you got any big plans? You go anywhere? What you gonna be doing?
We just had our second daughter 4 days ago.
Congratulations. What's her name?
Ro Taylor Spillane.
Oh, very cool.
9 pounds, 1 ounce. She's a big, healthy, happy baby. So take care of her. We have an 11 and a half month old who turns one June 25th. My wife's birthday is June 27th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I train 365 days out of the year. So continue with that and prepare for the season.
Robert, appreciate your time, buddy. Good luck to you. Okay, man.
Have a great rest.
That was a good chat. Ted Johnson with Robert Spillane, the new middle linebacker.
Like that guy.
Also, new father, apparently. An 11-and-a-half-month-old, a four-day-old, his wife's birthday. He's got a busy month.
Busy.
For those that have been relentlessly texting or relentlessly commenting in the Twitch chat, and by the way, you can, if you cannot listen on the radio or you prefer a visual or you cannot listen on the Odyssey app or you cannot stream this show, you can watch it every day on YouTube or on Twitch. And it is presented every day on Twitch by Springer's Jewelers. They are in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and you only have days left to get Dad a gift that he will remember for Sunday. And a timepiece from Springer's makes the perfect gift. So go see him in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I was just reading in the New Yorker an article on Pavlov, in which it says, Curtis, that the bell, the iconic bell, would have proven totally useless to his real goal, which required precise control over the quality and duration of stimuli. He most frequently employed a metronome, a harmonium, a buzzer, and electric shock. So those who have just spent minutes calling me a dummy, here's my answer to you. For that.
What could be more egregious? What could be more misleading?
Okay, thank you. Let's get back to leads this morning. Courtney, oh, sorry, Curtis, hello.
Good morning. I'm doing a lead walk. So I just figured I'd be simple. There was a sound I was trying to get, but Jackson, I don't know where he is. So the simple expectations for a successful season, the prerequisite for the Patriots and for Bill Belichick at North Carolina.
Mm.
For the Patriots, 10 wins, playoffs. That is a guarantee no matter what happens. That's a successful first season. Drake May, 30 touchdown passes is a simple request, 17 games. It should be able to be done if he's as good as Shyam says he is. For UNC, I'm looking at their schedule. 10 wins, same thing. They have a cakewalk of a schedule. The only tough games are like Clemson, and I mean, here's how UNC's schedule pans out. They have TCU, okay, Charlotte, Richmond, Central Florida, Clemson, Cal, Virginia, Syracuse, Stanford, Wake, Duke, NC State. Cupcake Central.
Yeah, Clemson, I would say Clemson and Syracuse are probably the two best teams on, and NC State's not bad either. The three best teams, they should be able to.
They should be 9 wins without an issue. So I feel like all this talk about a slow, gradual, stay at North Carolina. Belichick's got to get 10 wins, and the Patriots have to get 10 wins and a playoff spot with Drake May throwing 30 touchdown passes.
Bill on the sidelines will be must-watch TV, though. Am I right about that?
I can't wait.
I think it's you. I cannot wait. Can't wait to see.
Saturdays are going to be awesome.
Yeah. Kind of see like how the team pans out if they don't play well. What and then they asking him stuff after the game, about some 19-year-old kid who
halftime
ran out of bounds and then did something crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's gonna be so, and that's why I think And I'm kind of agree with Curtis. Like, if it starts off rough for Bill, it's instantly going to go to he wasn't focused because of Jordan. This is like, this is, it's weird because.
It's been quiet, though. For
No, I know that. But because of all the noise in the beginning, the foundation has already been laid for that. It's weird that Bill is in a position that, based on how he does at North Carolina, will not change his legacy, but it'll either be a stain or like people will be like, wow, look what Bill was able to do. But this could be a stain on his legacy.
Curtis, and do you see the Patriots getting 10 wins?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I think Mike Vrabel's had a great start.
Yes. Did you catch any of what Keon White said about basically not having a coach last year?
Yes, with Ted Johnson.
It's crazy.
Wow. Shots fired.
He basically said, I had to train myself.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's just wild to me. Like, was Jerod Mayo just playing cards with the fellas? And like, I mean, he's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
Like,
remember, Keon White and Jerod Mayo didn't get along. So okay, there's a little context to maybe
still,
some
that's
of this.
Pouring salt into the wound. Oh. Like, to be asked what's the main difference this year and being like, well, I've got a coach.
Salt. It's like alcohol.
Do you have that? Is that why you're looking at me? You have that audio? Yeah.
It's helpful for me because it slows it down for me. He's doing a good job of saying, like, this is what you need to think of. This is your thought process. That's something I don't think I have before.
So did it feel like you were maybe going on prior experience, or maybe were you just like overthinking, or how exactly?
I've been training myself. Now I feel like I have a coach.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's tough.
I mean, it's been a while. The man is down. Stop kicking.
Yeah. Now I feel like I have a coach.
Yeah, that was a huge kick.
But what was he doing? Like, what was Jerod Mayo doing if he wasn't coaching the fellas up?
I mean, I have no idea. But
it was a work-life balance that he was just focused more on the life.
I don't know who said it. It wasn't me. Maybe it was Wiggy. But, like, I don't think Jerod Mayo coaches anywhere ever again.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
No.
Not after this stuff.
No, why would you want to? You would look at it like the guy that I thought I could trust who, you know, said I was part of the family, basically blew me out of here after 1 year and
rightly so, though.
Well, we all go back to this. Did Jerod Mayo get a fair shot? No.
No.
That's part of it.
Okay. They set him up to fail.
Exactly.
But the fact that he didn't insert himself
Happy Friday
in a coaching position with the team is on him.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that, but I think, you know, not having the ability to sign players, the team that they gave him, they set him up to fail. But you think Robert was like, oh, what'd he say about Jerod, compared him to, like, the relationship with his wife or something like that? Something along those lines?
And cash. Yeah. Ready to burn some cash.
781 text, Curtis pumped the brakes. They won 4 games last year. 8 is a reasonable expectation this year. Well, I think I like Curtis being in on 10. I like it.
You know, I got to tell you, nothing does well in sports radio like pumping the brakes.
Realistically, they could go 3-1 in their first 4 games. You could beat the Raiders. You could beat the Dolphins. You could beat the Steelers and the Panthers. But, you know,
a show out into the suite for the Steelers game? We've had the third freaking preseason game the last 5 years.
Yeah, let's do that.
I want to boo Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sure that if we can't get into our suite, I'm sure that our very good friend Sean Flaherty at Catches Law will get us into their suite.
I love it.
All right, so we'll work on that.
Cool. Okay.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with the rest of this morning's leads next. And then they said it at 7:20. And what Hunter Dobbins said to try to clear up how he misremembered facts about his father's life.
Jones and Keefe, we're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I like that laugh from Bill when he's asked about Jordan.
Yeah.
There's been a lot said.
Yeah.
Yeah, has there? There's been a lot said?
Oh, this is such a fun topic to talk about. I really enjoy that you're asking me about
it. I love
that.
This.
Which, by the way, I watched this full press conference yesterday. I think it actually is from 2 days ago.
Okay.
But I watched the full thing. It's
sick brag, bro.
Was it an ACC thing or just, like, just North Carolina?
Who knows? Okay. I just think it's kind of sad. Like, he came out and, like, in his introductory little statement at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't asked about this till deep 10 plus minutes into the press conference. Did anybody
yeah.
have the balls to ask about what's gone? I mean, you yeah. didn't start with the press conference, no, for God's no. sakes, like that it was Steph Diggs the other day.
Right.
It took 10 plus minutes to ask anything about Bill and his offseason yeah. and people paying attention to it. Never mind Jordan, which was after that. But no, he started by talking about like UNC and the super regionals and like,
nice.
It might be an ACC thing because I saw he had, I think it was Reese Davis with Bill and Dabo.
Okay, maybe. But he's also like, you know, hey, there's a big volleyball game on campus. And I'm like, this is just kind of, not kind of, this is sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Greg Popovich was dating a 25-year-old and coaching Ohio State basketball?
And like,
that's kind of what this is.
And like, hey, guys.
Not even Ohio State. Like even a worse basketball school
yeah,
than
way,
that.
Much worse.
I was just thinking of a football school basketball yeah. team.
No, he would be coaching basketball at Penn State.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
yeah. And it's yes. like,
yeah, right. That's
yeah.
the equivalent.
Yeah, and he's like, big lacrosse game on campus,
guys.
Guys, we need your support.
Go Lions.
Like, I was like, oh,
come on,
man.
Out to the pep rally today.
I was like, it's kind of, again, not kind of. It's just sad talking about the volley. Yeah. Hey, big women's volleyball game on campus. Make sure you go
like,
support the
like,
team.
You know, I'll be there.
So anyway, that just, was the only question about
recruiting
Jordan. Yeah. There are a bunch of questions about, hey, the recruit, so now the team's looking and this and that. I think
how is the team looking?
Yeah, well, he said they've already turned over like 2/3 of their roster. And
yeah, I don't know by choice.
He kept highlighting 2027, I think. I was like, Bill, I don't think you're going to be there.
Oh, wow, they're going to be
in 2027. Yeah, I kind of think.
Not great, Bob.
No, once he gets his guys in there.
I don't think any of it was great. But there was a longer back and forth. I think both these questions, the good questions anyway, were from WRAL. This must be a radio station down there. I'm guessing Raleigh.
Yep.
So they peppered him about the Jordan question, which he was just so comfortable answering.
Yeah, he loves that.
And then they also asked another one about all the noise. This is more generic.
Yeah, ignore the noise. Well, I've always heard.
All the noise around Bill Belichick. Here's how he handled that.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I'm really focused on, you know, doing my job here at Carolina, which is to help our football team. And that's, you know, just to get better every day, you know, to stack those days together, training days, preparation days. Days out on the field, and we've done that, and you know our staff's again done a great job of working hard to do that. So, you know that's my big focus. I mean, is there noise out there? That's we've always dealt with that. Really, you know, our job is to build the football team, and for the team to you know help build the team and also build their individual careers. So, that's really where we're at. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. I'm done.
If you knew that this was interesting your personal life, would you come back to coaching? Or like, has that taken away from the experience of you coming back to coaching? And then totally unrelated on how settlement with roster limits and everything you have to deal with, how have you sort of had to make decisions based on the cap and based on the number of scholarships and the number of rosters?
Yeah. Well, again, on some of the noises out there and, you know, the book and stuff like that, I mean, it is what it is. Those are, you know, that's a personal venture that I entered into when I wasn't in coaching last year. And you know, hopefully that'll be a big purchase on Father's Day. But
nah. So I'll tell you what, Bill is
you
lost
know anybody
step.
That's going to read this book and no. like not for work. And no. even people that maybe should for work like me, not going to read it.
No, not a chance. Not a chance. You got to wait till. What was it? You got to wait till page 199 to read about Brady. No, thank you. Like, I'm not into this book. So Bill,
are there pictures?
Bill may have lost a step in a lot of different ways. His lying is top notch.
Yeah.
Because
the Lance Dobbins.
Well, him just coaching. Sitting there saying, well, yeah, that was a venture and all this noise came up. It was a venture that I agreed to when I was out of football for a year. I mean, I guess that's technically true.
But also it's similar.
The CBS News interview happened well after he was hired by UNC. That was the Bill, you writing a book is not the noise.
But also it's
the
weird.
Noise was you taking an interview and yeah, right, your right. girlfriend taking over the interview while you were an employee at UNC. Like yeah. that's top-notch lying.
Yeah. Also, it's weird when you're like, oh, it was a personal adventure. It's like, so you don't want anybody to read the book or right. you do want to read the book? Right. Or like you had to go on a media tour?
Yeah,
like,
you go Steph Diggs.
It's a personal thing.
I only yeah. talk about personal things with people I know personally.
It's like, well, you're posting a lot of things. Publicly,
you wrote a book.
You want people to read the book, right? You want yeah. you need to promote the book.
It's not a journal.
Yeah.
It's not like your diary. It's a book.
And I think, you know, he started writing that book. I think he was hoping to coach. I think he was hoping to coach in the NFL again, and it didn't work out, but he wanted to keep coaching. So he decided to, he got a job offer in college. So he took that. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to write this book because I'm done coaching and I don't have to ever worry about this coming up. Like, I think he had to have seen this playing out. I think in a perfect world, he's, for him, probably coaching the Falcons right now.
And for Bill to say, you know, he's ignoring the noise and we've always handled the noise in the past, well, there have been times where Bill was the story and Bill needed the team to tune it out. I mean, I think Spygate is the number one example of that, right? And the team was very, very successful in how they dealt with that.
Yeah.
They've never had to deal with Bill's personal life in this way. Like, that was all football related on the field. F them. They're prying on this. They don't know. Like, this is just a lot different. And maybe Bill can handle it. I wouldn't wager on it. I don't think UNC is going to be good. I don't think he's going to be there for the long haul. But we'll see who's right and who's wrong, and we can settle all that in a year or two. But this is different. Like, Bill trying to deal with this type of noise, this is way different type of noise than anything he's had to deal with.
It is. It's also self-inflicted noise. You know, I feel like you're right. There were certain things on the field and whatever, but that was, I mean, how many years ago? You know, like, that was early on in his run here. They sort of dealt with that, and then they kind of moved on. Because then even Deflategate, now you got to talk to the quarterback about that.
Right.
Like, that's sort of that's on.
Well, on Spygate, too, it's like, you had Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Like, do they have a Randy Moss at UNC?
I don't think so.
Brady.
You have Brady and Moss? No.
I don't think you have guys like that to bail you out in the middle of Spygate. And again, Bill did a good job keeping the team focused in the midst of that. I acknowledge that.
But that was also all football stuff.
Yeah.
Right? It was like football bending of the rules or cheating, whatever you want to call it. That was all football stuff. This is not, and this is also like about you. Like, you're not talking about something that came up from a player. We don't even know any of the players on that team, for God's sakes.
Nope.
They're all nameless, faceless to us at this point.
You feel, I know you think Bill is going to have 1 year and then be out, right?
Yeah, I think
that's how you'd wager
on it. Probably going to be it.
Do you think there's any chance they're good this year?
I think there's a chance they're not bad because their schedule, similar to the Patriots, isn't very strong. So similar to, like, I have the Patriots winning a ton of games. I don't think they're, like, amazing. I think they're better. And they play a lot of bad teams. If you look at the North Carolina schedule, first of all, the ACC is not the SEC. It's not the Big Ten. So just the conference games aren't all that tough.
There's one perennial powerhouse there, and it's Clemson. And even they've been down the last couple of years, but that's it, right? Like, in the ACC?
Right. Their first three games are non-conference. It's TCU, Charlotte, Richmond.
Yeah,
I assume they're going to be favored in all those?
Nick came in. No. They're
TCU?
I think TCU's favored in that game.
Oh, okay. Right?
Didn't you come in, Nick, telling us about that game?
I don't even know. I didn't see the line. I just thought it's a Monday night standalone.
TCU.
It is a Monday night ESPN
TCU
standalone.
TCU is going to destroy them.
You think so?
Yes. What were the other ones? Charlotte?
Yeah, but I thought TCU was down. No? Yeah,
they still won like nine games last year.
They won like nine games last year. I think they lost their bowl.
They're going to kill them. Who is it? Charlotte and who?
Richmond.
Oh, I'm sorry. Charlotte and Richmond. They'll win
spiders.
Two different ones.
They'll win those
games. Spiders.
I hope. If they don't, then Bill may not make it through September.
All right, let me find what the spread
they'll win
is
those
here
games.
For this first game.
They're going to get – TCU's going to mop the floor with them.
-2.5?
Yeah.
I mean, that's – field goal's not mopping the floor.
No, but I'm saying that I would hammer that line for
but
TCU.
But it's also a home game for them. All right, I'll take the heels.
You got
and
the
then
heel?
They got Central Florida,
home dog heels?
Cal, Virginia, Syracuse, Stanford, Wake, Duke, NC State. Like, there's no
– no.
pummeling on there, maybe Clemson.
No, but you're also not a strong team, is what I would say.
Yeah, but they were what, 500 last year? Like, they weren't a disaster either. He's not taking over a 1-10 team.
No, but he's kind of a disaster.
No, he might.
He's been a disaster
on
coaching. He's been a disaster since Brady left.
Yeah,
he had one good year with Mac, and they got pummeled in their playoff game.
Yeah,
so he's been a disaster as a coach, and his personal life is a disaster. So yeah, they're kind of a disaster.
Things are kind of collapsing on him a little bit.
Yeah,
that's
what I would suggest. I would say Mac Brown. At this stage in college, greater coach than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I think it's just going to be – he's used to coaching the best players in the world. Like, that. This is such a big difference, right? And, like, so how is he going to be able to deal with that? Plus, is he as locked in as he has been? It doesn't really seem it.
Well, wasn't Mac Brown the one that came out and said that they lowered the educational standards and gave him twice as much money?
Yeah, Mac Brown's already kind of bracing for like a big increase in wins because he's like, well, they're letting idiots in now and they're spending more money. Like, so he's doing that. He's like, all right, easy, Mac. You don't even need to say that yet.
Haven't they not like spent any of the NIL money though? Plus, that's all about to change too. That was a big bulk of Bill's press conference. Yeah. That new ruling on whatever the NCAA is doing. Every school has $21 million in NIL money for all their sports.
Yeah.
Which is just going to lead to more, you know, paying kids off the record. The system they had, the NIL system they had, actually was pretty good. This new system is going to be a mess.
But I'm interested in how it goes. I'll be watching the games. Like, I think I was definitely more interested in Tom Brady Tampa Bay games and following that. You know, it's NFL, but I was way more interested in that. But this. his first game's on ESPN, Monday Night Standalone. Yeah. I'm watching the hell out of that.
Going to lose by three touchdowns.
Well, that's fine, but you're still watching.
TCU minus two and a half. I'm sorry. North Carolina plus 2.5 buying opportunity or sucker's bet.
I think it might be a buying opportunity.
Sucker's bet. That's what that is.
What was TCU last year?
Locked that in. 9-4?
9-4, I think they were.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
Horned Frogs.
Yeah. They were 9-4 thanks to their New Mexico Bowl win.
Okay, great. I put Bill in the New Mexico Bowl. I wouldn't pick him. 617.
He was in the Fenway Bowl last year, right? North Carolina?
His team was.
Yeah, right.
779-7937. You can jump in here. We got to get to Leah Anthony, her appearance earlier today on this radio station. She answered some very important questions.
Yeah.
About her dating life.
She may have said too much.
She said too much. Yeah. About the entire Anthony family, which I think we got some interesting stuff. We'll hear that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.